Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Because I've got a chatty person in the studio with me, you can't blame me. I'm delighted to welcome musician and a cultural treasure, really, Sharon Shannon. Hi, Sharon.
Hello, Brendan. How are you?
Good.
How's it going? It's
good.
Lovely to be on.
It's lovely to have you here. The joy in the room has gone up 10%. If we had Kamala Harris herself in the room, there couldn't be more joy in the room. And you've picked music that has meant something to you throughout your life in five songs. Come here, before we get to that, you supported Oasis once, did you?
I did, yeah. It was when REM were playing in Slane all those years ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Oasis were part of the bill as well.
Yeah. Did you have the pleasure or displeasure of meeting them or anything?
I did not, no.
Didn't bother hanging around to
Well, my
them.
Lift was going back to Galway.
Well, listen,
and I took the lift.
Listen, little did you know that people would be paying 500 quid to stand in a field and see them now.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's get back to the music. Your first pick, it's a tune more so than a song. I suppose growing up at home in Clare, it was all tunes. It was trad really in the house.
We were stone mad for tunes, learning jigs and reels and polkas and hornpipes. And my parents were singers. They had loads of songs and loads of bits of songs as well. But we never really picked up on the singing. It was just tunes all the time.
So tunes are more like they're more into the. To the heart or the subconscious than probably sung songs, are they, with words and stuff, yeah?
It was just, I don't know.
That you don't think about it.
Yeah.
I'm over-intellectualising. So it was tuned. So like when you were a kid and you had the Walkman on or whatever, that's what you'd be listening to, yeah?
Yes, when I was very young, it was all tunes. Even though when I got older, then I started listening to songs and appreciating lyrics and stuff like that. And I love songs now as well.
And is this where your kind of joy comes from? Was it a very joyful house then, full of music and the parents singing? And
absolutely, Brendan. My parents were absolutely mad for music, and every time any traditional music came on the radio, they couldn't help themselves, especially my mother. She'd be up dancing around the kitchen.
And isn't that fantastic?
Yeah, so that was before we ever even started playing music. And and then they sent my brother Gary to music lessons in Corrifin, tin whistle lessons. And I would have been about 8 at the time, and he taught the rest of us at home the tin whistle.
And was the tin whistle was your first instrument?
The first instrument,
then,
yeah. And a couple of years later, then Gary, who was the oldest, he took up the concert flute. And we all wanted to copy Gary and take up the concert flute as well. But it was his idea. Thank you, Gary. Gary's out in the tractor listening. How are you, Gary? How's it going? it was thanks to Gary that we all took up different instruments. It was his idea.
Yeah. So the concert flute's challenging, I'd say, is it?
It is, yeah.
So then, somebody decided to give you a box, was it?
Yeah. Well, Gary named out all the instruments that we could possibly play.
Right.
And when he said accordion, I just thought, oh my God, I'd love to play the accordion. Love the accordion.
Yeah.
And my sister Mary got a banjo and my other sister Magella got a fiddle.
Right, yeah, you needed someone to divvy it all up, yeah. So the song is Matt Peoples' Reel by Matt Malloy and Tommy Peoples. And does this kind of bring you very much back to home, yeah?
Oh, it does, yeah. Like that's an album from an album. It's called Matt Peoples' Reels. It's from an album by Matt Malloy, Tommy Peoples, and they're accompanied by Paul Brady on the guitar. And I listened to that album over and over and over again. I still listen to it. I still love it. And as you say, I used to have the Walkman on, listening to the tape, listening to it. And but not just that album. It was very hard for me to pick just five tracks.
I'd say so.
Especially with just instrumental music. We were huge fans of Matt Malloy. So anything by Matt Malloy or Tommy Peoples for us. So we had all their albums.
Okay.
Plus the Bothy Band and Dé Donnan, all the Dé Donnan albums and Frankie Gavin albums and Stockton's Wing. And the lads from Stockton's Wing, the Hanrahan brothers, Kieran and Mikey, are from Innes, and Paul Roach, amazing flute player and whistle player from Innes as well, and Maurice Lennon, fiddle player from County Leitrim. They were just
okay. So what we say here is, no offence to anybody else, this is representing for all of them today.
Yes.
Let's have a listen to Sian Shannon's first choice, Matt Peoples Reel by Matt Malloy and Tommy Peoples. That's Matt Peoples Reel by Matt Malloy and Tommy Peoples, and that is Sharon Shannon's first music choice today. So I believe that is from, that's your favourite trad album of all time. You're saying you still listen to it. It's called The Mighty Session.
That's right.
Explain to me the magic of A Mighty Session.
Oh my God. It's my favourite thing in the whole world.
Yeah.
Well, besides being at home with the animals as well, I just love a really good informal session. In a pub or in a house, it's just you can just be transported into a completely different world altogether, and
really,
and it's a great buzz and it's a great high. I've been in sessions that have gone on for hours and hours and hours.
How long, like?
Oh well, very. A lot of the time, I it can go for 7 or 8 or more, or 9 or 10 hours.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
And no drink involved.
No drink at all.
Yeah. Would there be toilet breaks and a sandwich and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Keep you fueled.
Yeah.
But you kind of go into a kind of a frenzy out of time, basically.
Yes.
And it just goes on. Extraordinary, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes in pubs the food just gets handed down to us in baskets, and we just, while the tune, there might be a long set of tunes that keeps going for 3/4 of an hour or something. So, you know, while you're taking a bite of some chips or something, the session will still be going.
Okay, so you can kind of drop out and in, and that kind of, was one person needs to keep going at all times, I presume. needs to keep moving, yeah. So Planxty is your next choice. The Good Ship Kangaroo. Why this?
Well, the good ship Kangaroo. Like I said earlier on, we were just into tunes, but we got started listening to Christy Moore and Planxty thanks to our cousins, our first cousins, Myra and Anne Shannon, who are from Wilbrook, which is near Ennistyme in County Clare. But my auntie Kathleen had a guest house in Corrafin, and anytime she had any special guests staying in the house that liked music, she used to invite us over, and our cousins used to go over as well, and they were mad into Planxty, and it was through them that we got to hear all these lovely songs, and it was we got to know the songs of Christy Moore through our cousins Myra and Anne, and so The Good Ship Kangaroo was one of the ones that I absolutely loved. But at the time, I wasn't even listening to the lyrics. I just loved the melody of the tune, and there was a lovely little instrumental bit in it as well, written by Donal Lunny, a gorgeous little tune that my cousin Anne used to play on the fiddle, and I was just fascinated with her on the fiddle as well. It was before we even learned accordion and other instruments. We were able to play whistle and stuff, but watching her playing the fiddle was just fascinating. And
This is extraordinary. I've never spoken to anyone like you whose whole map of your life and everyone in it is all about music and musical connections and everything. Like, it's amazing. So the lyrics then, if you do listen to them, and they're kind of about a fellow with wanderlust, like.
Yes.
You're a real home bird, despite having been all over the world playing music and everything. You love to go home to the animals, yeah?
Yes, I have 4 dogs and 8 cats. And I miss them terribly when I'm away. I feel terrible guilt when I'm leaving them. And they're like, they're family.
Are they?
Yeah, they're like children, Brendan.
Really? And have they all their own personalities and everything?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Do they love you, do you think?
Oh, the unconditional love.
Really?
Yeah, they're incredible. They're just amazing altogether.
Okay, let's take a bit of music then. So this is the Good Ship Kangaroo, Sharon Shannon's second choice, Plankstick.
Can we dedicate this one to Donal?
We absolutely can.
Yeah, Donal Looney.
For Donal Looney, okay.
And Una.
And Una.
Our ship was homeward bound from many's the farthing shore, and many is the farthing present unto me lovely bore. I brought harnesses from Tenerife and ties from Timbuktu, a China rat and a Bengal cat and a Bombay cockatoo. Head off I sought her dwelling on the streets above the town, where an ancient dame upon the line was hanging out her gown. Where is me love? She's vanished, sir, about 6 months ago, with the smart young man that drives the van for Chapel and Sullencore. Oh, I never thought she would prove all serene, the prove untrue, as we sailed away through Milford Bay on board the Kangaroo.
Yeah. Okay, we have to lose it there. That's the bit you wanted there at the end, yeah?
The little tune, yeah.
That's the money shot, yeah.
Well, I love the song as well. Yeah, and like I said, I didn't even listen to the lyrics at the time because I was so young. But all I was thinking of was Skippy the Bush Kangaroo. But okay. the Good Ship Kangaroo, I think, was the name of the ship, of the name of the boat, I presume.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, next choice. This is a bit more from the grown-up years then. So you live in Galway now, and of course people know your song Galway Girl with Mundy. And I think it was in Galway that you met John Prine, who is a person who people here seem to have so much regard for, and he kind of became an honorary Irish person, didn't he?
He did, yeah. And as you know, he's not just in Ireland, he's loved all over the world, and an absolute legend. And when I came to Galway first, I became really good friends with a fantastic singer and songwriter from Dundalk called John Hoban. And he was a big fan of John Prine. So it was through my friend John Hoban that I got to know the music of John Prine. So I became a massive John Prine fan. And he had given me tapes of, you know, all John Prine's different albums, and there was one in particular, a live album, that I just listened to over and over again. And so then when I discovered that John Prine actually used to come to visit Galway and knew loads of my friends, I wasn't long after moving to Galway, so to actually meet John Prine was like, was after meeting the biggest superstar in the whole world. Yeah. I was really, really blown away to meet him, and to become friends with him. Is such a lovely, lovely person as well. And the same as all the rest of, you know, mad for sitting down in sessions and having a bit of crack and taking out the guitar, and he would sing and sing and sing all night.
So he didn't disappoint. Okay. And the song you've chosen is When I Get to Heaven.
Well, this is actually one of his one of his more recent songs, but every time I hear any John Prine song, it brings me back to that time when I met him first. So back to my early 20s. Actually, I was 19 when I first met him, or when I first went to Galway. But this one is called When I Get to Heaven, which is on his last album before he passed away, and an awful lot of his songs, if you listen to them, a lot of them make, even when he was very young, make reference to heaven and the afterlife, and what good fun it would be. Like, there's some lyrics on this one. He's just talking about when he gets to heaven that he's going to pour himself a very large drink, and he's going to smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long and start a rock and roll band and just have... live it up again in the next life.
And there'll be no consequences in heaven either for any of
exactly,
it, presumably. Yeah. Okay, Sharon Shannon's third choice, When I Get to Heaven by John Prine.
Cause then I'm going to get a cocktail, vodka and ginger ale. Yeah, I'm going to smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long. I'm going to kiss that pretty girl on the tilt-a-whirl. Yeah, this old man is going to town. That
That's When I Get to Heaven by John Prine, Sharon Shannon's third choice. So it's a honky tonk heaven. He was kind of yeah, conjuring up there. I like the idea of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you were 19 when you went to Galway. Had you were younger than that when you joined the Waterboys, were you? How old were you?
No, I was 21.
21. When I joined the Waterboys then. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How did that come about?
I had met Steve Wickham. I had spent an awful lot, a lot of time in Doolin. Playing music down there and living down there for a good while. And Steve Wickham went down there for a week's holidays at one stage. So I became good friends with Steve at that stage. And it was around the time that the Fisherman's Blues album came out.
Yeah.
And that's when I first really heard the Waterboys. It was because I got to know Steve, and then I started listening to the Waterboys. And I think he might have gone back with tales of meeting me.
Yeah.
The Waterboys were spending a lot of time in Spiddle at the time as well. So when I came to live in Galway, I got to meet Mike Scott and the rest of
Was
the
Mike Scott intimidating for a 21-year-old you? Because he has that kind of mystical kind of, you know, and very tall and kind of the hat and all that kind of thing.
Well, funny enough, it wasn't for me, because Mike was really fascinated with traditional music.
Yeah.
And for Mike, meeting the likes of Seamus Begley or all the greats of traditional music, he was in awe of them. Yeah. So he was really keen to learn jigs and reels, and you know, he would be watching us like a hawk, and he was really, really mad to learn to get into.
So he was trying to get a drop of the pure stuff out of you there.
Oh yeah, and he was amazing. He was an absolute gentleman, and I have to say that for about all the lads in the band and the crew and everything, they were so lovely to me, always.
And you picked the Waterboys song Saints and Angels. Why this one?
I love all the Waterboys songs, but I think this probably is my not just my favourite Waterboys song, but one of my favourite songs ever. I adore the song, the sentiment of it, and the if people are going to look it up, please listen to the words. But
because the whole thing is about 10 minutes long, I think, isn't it? We'll just take a snap.
But the melody is beautiful as well, and the way it lifts. It's an absolutely gorgeous song.
And what is the sentiment of it that appeals to you?
Well, I think it's a song about friendship, and about him wishing it's about friendship rather than romantic love, or maybe even wishing well to an ex romantic partner or something like that. Maybe it's like that's the words that it opens with. This is a wide world we travel, and our paths rarely cross, and we do a whole lot of living in between. And then the last verse says, it could be months, it could be years before we find each other once again standing here. So until then, my friend, I have a wish for you. Many hearts to keep you warm, many lights to guide you through the storm, and may the saints and angels watch over you.
Yeah. If only we could all be as generous as that to our exes. Like, isn't that lovely? Yeah. Speaking of saints and angels, just before we play it, I thought, look, like everybody, you've dealt with a fair bit of grief in life. But I was interested in this thing that I think you think helps you. Will you explain to me about synchronicities?
Well, I think if you're doing a bit of grief counselling, even though I never did any, but I read an awful lot of books about that kind of stuff and how to deal with loss and intense grief. And I think a lot of what I read anyway encourages you to watch out for synchronicity. And they say that there's no such thing really as a coincidence, and that if you all these little things that happen are signs from the afterworld or the other, the afterlife. And I think they encourage you, or the people that write these books, they encourage you to try to believe, if you can at all, try to believe in the afterlife and believe in the possibility that the soul lives on and that you'll have a bit of crack in the next world or whatever.
Yeah,
and
so
to watch out for little signs. And even if you don't believe it, to try and believe in the possibility of it, it gives you even, because otherwise you're going to have no comfort whatsoever. It's very hard to find comfort when you're in the depths of grief.
And that the rational doesn't always have the answer, like, so trying to take some kind of
leap of faith. If you see, you can, if some, like, something unusual comes in front of you that you don't expect, like a little feather or a butterfly or a robin at your window, or at one stage when I was in a deep despair at because of somebody that I lost, this amazing and really, really beautiful white cat came into my back garden that I had never seen before, and he just stared at me, and it completely took me away from what I was thinking about, and I was just going, oh my God, look at that amazing cat. And I had never seen him before.
Yeah.
And it happened again a few days later. He came into, when I was in another, because grief comes in waves.
Waves, yeah.
I think that's one of the things I read as well, because your subconscious protects you from the full impact of really horrific grief. It only lets it in bits.
Yeah.
So you might have a really, really terrible grief for 10 minutes or 20 minutes, and then it'll go away and you might get peace, or you might be completely okay for an hour or two or for 5 or 6 hours. But anyway, I was in one of these other waves a couple of days later, and the same cat came to the front, my front garden, and looked straight in the window at me, and then disappeared when I went. Well, didn't literally disappear, but when I tried to coax it into the house, he wouldn't come. But I never saw him again.
Okay.
Just things like that. If you kind of go, oh, that's a sign from the afterlife. Or like I say, or, you know, from the spirit world, someone's trying to say hello to you or to reach you. So, or like I said earlier on, even if you don't believe it, if you can even believe in the possibility of it, it'll give you some kind of comfort.
Yeah. That's okay. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. So try and maybe keep yourself open to being open to the wavelengths or whatever.
Yeah, and coincidences. These books that you read about grief counselling, they tell you that there's no such thing as a coincidence.
Okay.
And all these synchronicities are little signs from, you know, beyond the veil.
One more thing. So we'll get back on track now in a minute. One more thing so about grief before we leave it. Because I think this can be a difficult thing for those of us who are not animal lovers to understand. I think we've come to understand more that the grief people feel for animals, you know, is a real thing and can be like losing a person. You think the grief with losing an animal can be more than the grief for losing a person?
Well, it depends on the person, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. It's been said to me several times by various different people saying, I can't say this to anyone else, but I don't mind saying it to you, because they say they don't mind telling me because they know that I'll understand. But they say, only very recently it happened again, that a good friend of mine who lost his dog said it to me, that he had lost his mother as well. And he said that it was even worse losing the dog, and the grief was even worse. So it's like,
wow.
I said, it's been said several times, but I know the feeling myself, and
yeah.
I've lost several people that are, you know, really, really close, including my parents. But I've lost a lot of animals as well over the years, over the last 30 years. All my animals have been rescued animals, and they're like my children, and it's absolutely devastating when they die, because, you know, for me, the animals live in the house and sometimes sleep in their bed and everything with me. So they're like babies. Even my father, who was a farmer, grew up all his life having to sell animals and stuff like that. And we always had dogs, sheep dogs, and they were always outside, and they weren't allowed into the house. But in his older years, he lived in the house with my sister Magella, and it was his first time sharing a house with a dog. So she had a little Springer Spaniel living in the house, and he became really close to the spaniel. And when the spaniel died, he was absolutely devastated. And I remember him saying to me that he couldn't understand why he was so upset, and he was embarrassed and almost ashamed of himself that he couldn't get himself out of this terrible grief that he had because of the animal, and he couldn't understand it, why he was so upset.
Listen, I know that will chime with a lot of people who probably do feel that it's not a fully acceptable thing to be saying to people that people don't understand.
Yeah, so you have to go straight back to work or whatever. There's no concessions allowed.
We should make allowances for people. Okay, we'll get back on track. Here's the music we were talking about like 10 minutes ago there before I took you off down that
Saints
lane.
Saints and Angels, isn't it?
The Water Boys, Saints and Angels. That's the Waterboys, Saints and Angels, and that's Sharon Shannon's fourth choice. And then, so Sharon, after the Waterboys, then you released your first solo album, Sharon Shannon. I think it's still the best-selling trad album of all time in Ireland. And then A Woman's Heart came very quickly afterwards, kind of cemented your how big you were. And then you've done lots of interesting things, like experimenting with reggae and African percussion and all that, and pushing the boundaries. But it kind of always comes back to trad, doesn't it? And we come back to trad at the end here, because your last choice is by your friend, the late Seamus Begley.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Seamus Begley was an incredible musician and an absolutely beautiful, beautiful singer, and an amazing character that was adored by everybody that knew him. And his loss in traditional music, and everything about him is just huge. The loss of Seamus is terrible.
It feels like more than a person was lost there for your tribe, does it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I remember Martin O'Connor said to me at the time. Martin is a great accordion player as well, from Galway. We chatted on the phone when Seamus died. We were both we were trying to console one another. We were chatting for ages, and he said, because we were talking about all the stories and all the amazing, he was an incredible storyteller, and he had a million jokes, and each one of them would make you absolutely die laughing. You'd be crying laughing. But there's so much gone with him. Martin said, I feel like there's, and he's beautiful Irish, and the depth of tradition that he had in him. Martin said, I feel like there's a big chunk of the map of Ireland after falling off into the sea.
Listen, people are really loved and appreciated your chat today, Sharon. It was kind of magic, really. Amazing. Your latest single is Jack of Hearts. That's written on the electric guitar, the latest instrument you've taken up.
That's right.
That's taken from your most recent album, which is called Now. There's also a box set spanning your 30-year career. That's called Here and Now. And
it's, it's called Now and Then. Sorry.
Now and Then, I beg your pardon. Yeah. Sorry, Now and Then. Mm-hmm. And you're playing the Glore Theatre in Ennis on October 5th, the is 5th. That right?
Yes.
Because you've been generous, now, any other gigs or anything you want to mention?
We're doing some Shane McGowan tribute shows as well with special guests, Imelda May, Camille O'Sullivan, Liam O'Mainley, Mundy and Cáit O'Riordan and a big band.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's some Irish gigs coming, yet to be confirmed where they are. There's one already confirmed and sold out in the Spiegel Tent in Wexford.
Okay.
People have to watch out on the social media for announcements of the rest of the Irish gigs.
Sharon Shannon, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brendan.
We'll finish today, so with your final choice. This is Seamus Begley with Jim Murray, and he's singing, this is a Gordon Lightfoot song, Early Morning Rain, yeah?
Yes.
Thanks, Sharon.
In the early morning rain, with a dollar my pockets full of sand, I'm a long way from home, and I miss my loved ones home.